Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the No Way Podcast. I'm so excited about this week's special guest because it is Harvey Guillen. You may know Harvey from his work on The Internship, The Magicians, Eye Candy, The Thundermen, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, and most notably, the Emmy Award-nominated comedy, What We Do in the Shadows on FX, where he plays my favorite character, yes, I'm a little biased, Guillermo. You can catch Harvey in the brand new comedy feature film, Werewolves Within, which comes out today, June 25th, in theaters across North America, and then on demand July 2nd. Also, look out for Harvey in the upcoming Jack Reacher series on Amazon Prime later this year. Very exciting. Like always, you can watch this episode's No Way scenes on our Instagram page at No Way Podcast. Now, let's go to the movies. Hi, Harvey. Thank you for being with us today. I'm so excited about this episode. I'm so excited you've made the time to be here with us today because for our listeners, Harvey, what time did you get off set last night?
Well, my call time was last night at 9 p.m. Oh. So went till pretty late, till like 6 a.m., 6:30 a.m.
So thank you for after getting off at 6 a.m. being with us today. And we met, just to give an introduction of what the connection here is, we met doing a movie called Status Update back in 2016 here in Vancouver. And I remember coming into that process of being pretty green at that point, and I'm still green, but I was even more green back then. And like there was you and there was like Ross and Olivia and like all these people. I remember being pretty intimidated by the Nickelodeon Disney stardom that I was surrounded by. And I just remember you and I gravitated to each other and you made me feel welcome and comfortable on that set. And I think we just like kind of hit it off back then and we've remained friends since.
Do you agree with that, Harvey? Do you think you really hit it off, or is that just Marky's perception on that one?
That's not how I remember it at all.
Remember, Harvey, remember that time you punched me in the face, you spit on me, and you're like...
I do remember that part. But see, I'm not seeing the connection.
I felt like we got on great.
No. That's after security had to escort you out, and that's how the whole...
Markian responds really well to negative feedback, so he also still thinks that flirting is preschool style. You got to punch, you know, so...
No, it was great because I remember meeting Markian and thinking, because you come from LA and all the, you know, you work with like teen actors and just actors in general, and they're all like a little bit sometimes, you know, pretentious or fake or whatnot. And working with like the Canadian actors on this film was like the bright side of working on it, because they were so nice and welcoming, and also it's hard to find people who have your sense of humor. So like Markian and I gravitate towards each other because I was making jokes that... we're flying over, like, because our cast was pretty young. Like, our cast was, like, we had, like, a, you know, Brie, who was, like, 16 at the time, I think. Now she's Supergirl.
Yeah, now she's Supergirl.
Now she's Supergirl. But, like, we had pretty young, you know, and Ross and Olivia were pretty young, too. So, like, I'd make a joke, then it would be, like, a political joke or something. And they'd be like, what? And then just, like, Mark, he'd be like, oh, yeah. You know, like, he'd get it. And I was like, oh, he gets it. He gets this kind of humor.
Before meeting, I think there were only a few people that got musical theater jokes that I would be usually making to myself or like singing things. And you were the first person to come along that like saw me singing that like note from Wicked or whatever it was. No. And then like you would start and I'd be like, holy shit, finally somebody understands my musical theater humor. So Harvey, what movie have you brought to us today?
I've brought you one of my all-time favorites is Batman Returns. The first time I saw it was on VHS. that's how old it was. And I was just like, I remember, like, we put it in and I was pretty young and it started and just the music, the opening credits, and the world that, like, Tim Burton created, like, you know, that opening scene where the Cobblepots are, like, you know, waiting their newborn child, and they live in this beautiful house, and the way he sets up, like, the candelabras on the side, and the nurse runs out, like, disgusted by this child that just came out of this woman, and then the doctor running out, like, oh my god, your child's hideous, and you're just waiting for this reveal, you're like, when is it gonna happen? Then the baby eats the cat, and with his, like, hooves. But the idea that this world was like, whoa, is this real? Can this really be a world that I could visit? And, you know, looking back of, like, Tim Burton did such a great job of, like, showing the contrast. Like, if you notice the baby carriages in the park when they're crossing, like, it's like, Merry Christmas. It's Christmas time and it's chilly and it's snowy. And that, you know, the penguin's, like, carriage is black and the baby going by is white. And it's just, like, good and evil crossing. Like, just, like, the imagery of that that might be lost to, like, the naked eye. But I was like, I was like, there you go. Like, the perfect family, meaning, like, we're not like them. And then they go and they dump the carriage in the water. And it's just like, how could someone do that to their child? So I kept thinking, would my parents do that to me? So I had, like, kind of a... I kind of had this trust issue for a while with my parents because of that. Even though they did nothing, I was just like, would you have thrown me in the water?
I was their number one son, and they treated me like number two.
Batman Returns was released June 19th, 1992. It runs for 126 minutes. It was written by Daniel Waters, with story by Sam Hamm, great name, and Daniel Waters, based on the characters by Bob Kane and DC Comics. It's directed by Tim Burton, and this is actually the only sequel to one of his own films that Tim Burton directed himself. So this is still remains to this day the only sequel he's ever done. It was released by Warner Brothers on a budget of $80 million. It grossed $163 million, actually made $47 million in its first 3 days, which was a record at the time, only to be broken by Jurassic Park the next year. It stars Michael Keaton as Batman, Danny DeVito as Penguin, Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, Christopher Walken as Max Schreck, and Michael Gow as Alfred.
Must you be the only lonely man beast in town?
And here's the synopsis for Batman Returns. Having defeated the Joker, Batman now faces the Penguin, a warped and deformed individual who is intent on being accepted into Gotham society. Crooked businessman Max Schreck is coerced into helping him become mayor of Gotham, and they both attempt to expose Batman in a different light. Earlier, however, Selina Kyle, Max's secretary, is thrown from the top of a building and is transformed into Catwoman, a mysterious figure who has the same personality disorder as Batman. Batman must attempt to clear his name, all the time deciding just what must be done with the Catwoman.
Life's a bitch. Now so am I.
Some fun facts about the film. I want to read this one because this one's pretty amazing about the penguins used in the movie. The production wanted to use king penguins, but the only tame ones in captivity were at a bird sanctuary in the Cotswolds, deep in the English countryside. So the birds were flown over the States in a refrigerated hold of a plane, and they were given their own refrigerated trailer, their own swimming pool with half a ton of fresh ice every day, and had fresh fish delivered daily straight from the docks. So even the temperature outside frequently topped 100 degrees, but the entire set was refrigerated down to 35 degrees. And the birds also had around-the-clock bodyguards. So clearly the birds enjoyed this experience because following their stint in Hollywood, most of them had mated and produced eggs. A sure sign of contented penguin.
Naked, sexual, charisma.
They were just on a penguin fuck fest.
Oh my god.
I can't even get a coffee on set.
I was about to say,
just getting laid, getting ice, getting fish. Like, what a
bodyguard.
That sounds like their album coming out, their rap album, Getting Laid, Getting Ice.
I was like, this sounds traumatic. They put him on a plane? Like, how fucking horrible is that?
No.
But then, no, apparently, great holiday.
They loved it. They loved it.
You know, actually, I bet they would love it. Flightless bird. On a plane.
Oh, gross. Get out of here.
I want to see the documentary that follows him afterwards, like how it spirals down, because once you peak And then, like, what does the penguin do afterwards? They don't want to go back and fish for their own
They're
food.
They're like, fuck this. It's not going well. They're like,
it's not going well. They're in a, like, loveless marriage, and they're just like, I need to leave. I met this, like, toucan, and we hit it off. And
I was in Batman Returns, baby. Get the fuck out of my face.
there's that, like, that jaded penguin at the back being like, you used to be a star kid, didn't you?
Yeah.
Now you're back here.
You know, Danny still calls me. Danny still calls me all the time. He's a good boy. Yeah, I love DeVito. Lovely.
Yeah.
You got any fish on you?
Could be worse. My nose could be gushing blood.
It got 2 stars from Roger Ebert. The gloomy undertone of Batman is like a tow line holding the movie back, keeping it from springing free into the wind. I give the movie a negative review, and yet I don't think it's a bad movie. It's more of a misguided one, made with great creativity, but denying us what we more or less deserve from a Batman story. Looking back over both films, I think Burton has a vision here and is trying to shape it into material, but it just won't fit. No matter how hard you try, superheroes and film noir don't go together. The very essence of noir is that there are no heroes. I had a feeling by the end of this film that Batman was beginning to get the idea.
Who is your Batman?
Batman.
Out of all the interpretations and franchises, from Adam West to Ben Affleck, who you got?
I think for me it is Michael Keaton, because for me it's so nostalgic.
I'm Batman.
Batman is Christian Bale.
I'm Batman.
I'm kind of Kevin Conroy as just the voice.
Oh.
From the Batman animated series.
Oh. I am Batman.
I always think about this question. I think you have to look at the Bruce Wayne. Because that's where the actor gets a chance to portray what they're doing. And so for me, Michael Keaton is my Bruce Wayne.
You know what? I mistook me for somebody else.
But I liked Christopher Nolan's Batman.
Do I look like a cop? Batman!
Harvey, now we come to the part of the podcast where we ask for your elevator pitch of Batman Returns and really capture the essence and the feeling of this movie to us, so we give you $80 million.
One can never have too much power.
Okay, so here's an idea. We have our leading lady who is a secretary, works at a local major company that runs, you know, oil or some kind of business like that. And we also have the villain who is an orphan as well because he was left as a child down the river on a basket even, then was raised by animals, let's say penguins. And our leading ingenue, you know, she is a working class girl, not in that way, but in a good way. Like she's really struggling, but doesn't have a love interest and then slowly falls in love with this millionaire. But they don't know that each other, they're enemies. She's a villain called Catwoman, right? She fell down 80 stories and then was licked from head to toe by cats. And then she goes home and drinks a bunch of milk, right? So her skin gets really pasty and milky. And this, and our millionaire, he's actually a hero because he saves people by night by the name of, I don't know, Batman, you know? Think of like that, like Batman. So now we got a Batman and we got a Catwoman, right? And now the villain on the guy side, we should call him something like the Penguin. And we just put them into this world where they're just attacking each other, big finale, and maybe like throw in some like, you know, clowns or something and real life penguins. Can I get 80 million?
We've got the magic.
I love that description of this, Harvey. You sound completely unhinged.
As I cackle.
We got to establish our givens for the Batman Returns before we get into our no ways. General overhanging subject is comic book stuff. We're just, that's an accepted, this is the world we're in. And so that, and the 3 subcategories to that means Batman, Penguin, and Catwoman. So we accept that Batman is Batman. Batman has a Batmobile. Batman has gadgets, has tech that doesn't make sense, can do incredible physical things, and has, a bat cave. Penguin, we accept Penguin is what Penguin is. Penguin has this gang. Penguin can make umbrellas that shoot, that can fly. Totally accept it. And Catwoman. We accept the Catwoman conundrum. I gotta say, as a comic book nerd, this is where I do have some ire with Tim Burton, because this Catwoman makes no fucking sense.
I am Catwoman. Hear me roar.
Catwoman is a cat burglar who just presents as a cat, not a literal cat person with nine lives.
Maybe I'll just give myself a bath right here.
Who was resurrected by a herd of cats in an alley.
By how? By licking and chewing on her fingers, apparently.
They spit in her mouth. She got cat saliva in her mouth.
You ever had a cat scene? Spit in your mouth, Mike? I'm telling you, it's wonderful and amazing things happen.
I don't know about you, Miss Kitty, but I feel so much yummier.
Let's get into it.
This is gonna be good.
Round one.
All right. Okay. So the first No Way we have in the film Batman Returns comes at about 33 minutes and 50 seconds in. The city has held a lighting of the tree ceremony for the first time. A large gift box shows up. You sort of meet the Penguin circus group for the first time. This gang who caused like a lot of violence. A lot goes on. We've met a couple of the characters, but this is kind of the first big moment of the film, is this lighting of this Christmas tree. And then that all goes wrong, obviously. And so there is a second conference that is held to kind of address what happened in the city that day.
So in this scene we're going to watch at 33 minutes, 50 seconds, it's the scene where the mayor's child is kidnapped by the Penguin, and the Penguin stages a fake rescue and makes their first public appearance as a, quote, hero.
No, it's the hideous Penguin Man. Here, take the baby, just don't hurt me, please.
All right, so
yeah,
my No Way regarding that scene to set that up is... I think that there's no way that the city, as like a government, as a group of officials, would allow them to hold another public conference with no security only a few days later in the exact same location as a terrorist attack just a few days prior that literally costed lives. People died in that attack, from my understanding. So they're holding another event, and they're still like, we don't need security. Like, there's no way that would fly through the city officials to allow that to happen.
In fact, there's less cops this time than they were at the last ceremony.
100%.
We just watched that clip. There are zero. There are zero cops.
Zero cops.
Zero security. There is nothing that they're doing.
Their
to
thought process
anything.
Must be like, the terrorists got it out of their system last time.
If we've learned our lesson is they don't strike twice, so we're good.
That's my No Way. Just the realism of that event even occurring.
I don't think that could have happened. Again, this was the scene that I was talking about earlier where it didn't make sense for like the mother not to, like, you know, I don't know what mother wouldn't jump up and grab, you know, whoever, to give that person enough time to make a speech to steal the baby.
I'm not really one for speeches, so I'll just say thanks.
I'm not much for speeches, so I'll just make this quick. And takes out a piece of paper. It's like, I want to thank William Morris Endeavor for the baby in me. It's just like, somebody stop him. You know, yeah. He has a baby.
This is, again, too, you have to think about the world of Gotham City. We just came off the Joker who terrorized this city over and over and mm-hmm. over again. These are clowns that just attacked again. So it's clearly the clown problem in this city has not been solved.
The clown problem in this city.
What are you laughing at?
So the original No Way is just that this press conference obviously is going to happen because the mayor and the public figure servants need to make an announcement to the city about response to this terrorist attack that happened at the Christmas lighting. But we're seeing that there's no security, mm-hmm. there's no police presence. They're right in the spot where it happened, where there was an attack. But I'm going to offer a way, I think it's pretty no way, but I'm going to offer a way argument, which would be, is there something in showing a courageous front by not putting a bunch of guns and armed people on those stairs, just the mayor coming out, he brings his wife, he brings his baby right to the front line and goes, I'm here with my baby and you have nothing to fear, I've got this covered. And it backfires because then that fucking acrobat comes in and steals his baby. But is it like a flex? Is the mayor being like, I don't want security out there. It's just me and my family, and I'm going to show that we're still here.
And I tell you that not only as an official, but as a husband and a father.
I think there's a hilarious side scene to what you're trying to explain here, Kayvon, is that the mayor, yes, okay, he can stand up, he can say, no, I'm going to put on a brave front. And somebody's like, so, like, don't you think they might attack again? And he's like, no, they're not. I'm going to put on a brave front. No way. They're not going to do that again. And they're like, okay, like, I'm telling you, maybe we should have some cops. And then his baby gets taken. So it happened again, man. And he's like,
like, where's the other like city planners who are like, so I don't want to say I told you so, but like, dude, they took your fucking baby this time. Like we do this again. We're bringing security.
I was wrong.
No, let's do it again.
I was wrong. Let's do it again.
But I'm going to offer the argument, as short-sighted or as stupid as it might be, his speech obviously also is built to point out his baby, to say that I'm here as a father.
Yeah.
That this whole presentation, this unarmed, unmilitarized press conference is to show that things aren't out of control and that he feels so confident that he even brought his baby to the scene.
Yeah, yeah. No, I do totally understand that side.
What if there's another side where, like, he doesn't want to be a father and he knew this was going to happen?
He orchestrated this?
Yeah.
And he's so pissed. He's so pissed that it fucking backfired. He's like, yeah. Fuck.
Like, he's just like, he's all, okay, take the baby, take the baby.
Well, you know what? We can't see what's inside that little onesie. Maybe he also has a penguin baby.
Yeah.
And he's like,
get rid of it.
And
yeah.
That's why the mom, too, is like,
there you go. Oh, my baby. Go.
I hear what you're saying, Kayvon. I don't know if there's any evidence presented that this guy is any kind of martyr or hero or has, if I was presented that this mayor is a brave man in any other context, maybe I'd buy that. There's nothing to back that up.
And there seems to be quite a big council. Like there's a big council of misogynistic guys that like to hang out in that oval room
office.
Or whatever, in that office. Yeah. So clearly like decisions like that go through a few channels.
Yeah, I just feel like these guys are more cowardly than they are heroic and would want to protect themselves at all costs. At least have two cops there. And there's none in that entire scene.
And I think that's actually now why I'm going to land on I think that what it is it's a publicity thing. Because there's not even one. If there had been one or two, then you can kind of go, well, this seems a little understaffed. But the fact that there's nothing and he parades his baby out in the front line, I actually think that there's something to, there was a conversation where they're like, you're going to have to make an announcement. We're going to have SWAT out there. We're only going to allow a few reporters. And he goes, no, that's not the message I'm going to send. It's going to put more fear into the community. We need to look like we have this under control. We need to look like we're not, you know, victims. We're going to go right to back to ground zero and I'm bringing the baby.
Yeah, if it was a campaign or a publicity stunt, it backfired. but I could see that. I mean, politicians have done worse, but I could see it maybe. But I it's just hard to believe that all of that too. Yeah, no, it's going to be a no for me.
Harvey's a no way.
Harvey, you're solid no way on this one?
Yeah.
I'm staying no way.
You're staying no way? Then it's arbitrary. It's a no way. I'm way. I think he's a bad mayor, but I'm two to one. All right. No way.
Batman falls on the first no way.
That's a no way.
No way.
All right. Well, Mike's first no way stands as a no way. So that's round one of three. I'll move us right forward then. We got no way number two here. I'm going to take the lead on no way number two.
Round two.
I'm going to take us quite a bit further into the film. The scene we'll be watching is at 1 hour, 12 minutes, 30 seconds. At this point, you know, Catwoman is Catwomaning. The Penguin is running for mayor. Batman is Batmaning. And we're going to be watching a scene where Selina Kyle has been invited by Bruce Wayne for dinner at his house. And they're having a somewhat amorous interaction when breaking news comes on the television.
Can you confirm for us the reports we're hearing of Batman's suspected involvement in the abduction?
Was found stained with blood
in the missing girl's dressing room.
Selena and Bruce were on the couch and they were necking and they were both hiding their wounds, and breaking news came on to cover the story about how the Winter Queen has been kidnapped and is missing. And so we're seeing live news at the scene of the crime. Just happened. Someone's missing. And the commissioner strolls onto camera, holds up evidence in an ongoing current crime investigation, and just publicly shows the evidence that he thinks it's Batman because I have Batman's batarang in a Ziploc. My no way is that any law enforcement representative goes on a live news program on the at a scene of a crime and just shows the evidence to live television before anything has been investigated.
It's so good.
Harvey, have at it.
We got him.
Boom. Okay. Got him.
I got a friend.
No, I am.
I'm sorry I jumped the gun because I knew exactly what you were thinking. But
I was about to say, that's the first time I think on the podcast the guest just straight up declared the no way while we were watching the clip. I was like, fuck, there it is.
I'm sorry, but it's like, it's so, yeah, who does that? Like, you're not even supposed to talk about if there is an ongoing investigation. Like, you're not even, who goes on live television? It's like, we just found this in the dressing room. We has blood on it, and I think I know who did it. And it's like, like, what is happening? Like, what are you doing? This is why there's no police enforcement when you need it to be there in this city.
I mean, how did you get to commissioner when some news guy is like, commissioner, do you have any comment? I got more than that. I got the evidence right here.
It was the Batman.
Do you want to see some blood? Come on this way. Come on in.
I'm coming in, actually. I've been laughing this entire time because this is so ridiculous. But here, I think I'm going to be away on this one because.
Oh, how? How?
Okay, wait. Hear me out. We have established in our last No Way that the cops are clearly terrible in Gotham City.
No. We didn't establish that the cops are terrible in the last No Way. We just established that they were not there.
They weren't there. We see in the scene a little bit further from here that we see two cops take shots at Batman without any warning. I just think there's evidence throughout this movie, and this is a theme in a lot of this. We kind of talk about this every episode we do here of the powers that be being incompetent, of police being bad at their jobs.
The commissioner. Not some rookie patrolman who's like, hey, I found a head. Like, no, it's the commissioner strolls on.
There is a theme in a lot of Batman stories and films of a little bit of a battle between the police and Batman in terms of the fact that he is a vigilante. He's operating in an illegal manner. They bring him in to help sometimes, but ultimately they're like, we know you're breaking the law. So I think there's a potential here where they have a chance to actually pin something on Batman and be like, he's not that fucking great. We do good stuff too. And in that moment, they just jump the gun. They're like, look, it was fucking Batman, okay? Your guy's hero? We're the heroes. We're the police.
You're right. Because he kind of jumps the gun when they do shoot at Batman, the commissioner, because they're trigger happy. They're like,
they shoot. They start fucking shooting at Batman right away. They try to pin a crime on him instantly.
We do have to think about the goal of the commissioner doing that on live television. So his goal in that moment is to pin this whole thing on Batman and to show the people of Gotham that Batman is bad. He's clearly doing this on television for a reason. This is worse than I thought. So he is, in essence,
You're saying it's a political move. It's a political assassination.
Yes.
But that doesn't line up with Commissioner Gordon. Commissioner Gordon has believed in Batman through all the first film. He shoots the signal off all the time. He knocks the guys, the two cops who shoot at Batman, he smacks their hands down right away. He says, don't do that.
Hold your fire!
Yeah.
I just don't think Commissioner Gordon's the one, maybe a mayor or somebody else.
You're right. That is the catch right there, is that it's Commissioner Gordon who does the action of showing that.
Right.
Does he straight up say Batman did it, or does he just say we found this batarang at the scene of the crime?
But it's such bad police work because it's circumstantial. It's like if you went to a crime scene, there's a dead body on the floor, there's a Steph Curry jersey on the floor, and you go on the news and you go, get Steph Curry. You know, like,
we know
it was him because his jersey was here. Like,
it's true.
I hear what you're saying is that it is so overtly outside of proper protocol to add a crime crime scene, run out to live television and go, look what I found. It would have to be like a political assassination, or like they're trying actively to undermine Batman's presence and standing. But why would Commissioner Gordon do that? He believes in the Batman.
Oh man, this one's tough. You know,
this is tough.
It's tough because there's a part of me that doesn't want this movie to fall as spectacularly as we are letting it right now in terms of this no ways. But
a lot
of
strong no ways.
I mean, it's gonna stick here, and you've convinced me because of your argument right there, Kayvon. Now I'm backtracking on my argument that his goal is actually not as clear as I thought it was in that moment, because you are right, and Harvey did point out that, you know, he stops the guns from being shot,
which actually proves Mike's point of like the cops might have a thing against Batman because they make them look bad, so that any chance they get, the cops are like, we'll fucking kill, and the commissioner, no.
Well, and there could also be something here, because I know it exists in real life that oftentimes there's a lot of pressure to solve a crime because it's a very like high profile thing and we need to put the public at ease. This is a short week where a lot of shit's gone down in Gotham, and now another thing's occurred, and there might be a lot of political pressure actually from the mayor onto the police for saying, we have to solve this one right away. Like, I can't, my campaign will not survive a third fucking incident this week that we can't do anything
with. It's Christmas week.
Is there anyone we can blame this on right now? We need to solve this crime right now for the people so I can assure them that the city is okay. And so maybe it's begrudgingly from the political powers that be. He's like, fucking show that batarang on live TV right now and say the crime is solved, basically.
But no, Mike, that doesn't solve the crime. A person is missing. It's a kidnapping.
Yeah, but at least he's saying, like, it's not the clowns this time, guys. The city's not as fucked as you think. It's not the clowns this time, okay? We're going to deal with the clowns.
We have more bad guys, actually.
It's actually worse, everybody. Sorry.
I don't know. I mean, there is something to be said for, like, if the no way is more about holding up a bag of evidence in that moment, I think there's some potential to be said for the fact that this is a time when crimes, they need it. They need a win. The police need a win bad.
Can we watch it one more time, Kayvon? I just want to see one more time how this actor delivers it, because I think I'm going to read into his performance here and he's going to decide this for me.
Can you confirm for us the reports we're hearing of Batman's suspected involvement in the abduction?
This evidence is purely circumstantial.
Purely circumstantial. He doesn't even want to say it.
He doesn't want to say it.
He doesn't even want to say it. Someone's forcing him to say it.
He's telling the audience, this doesn't mean anything, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Because someone's making him say it.
Was the commissioner being like forced to do something? Like, everything political, like someone's always above someone, so someone's controlling someone.
Now it doesn't make sense of why he's doing it, because he does look like he doesn't want to say it.
Because he won't say Batman, because he said, is it true we're here to Batman? And he's like, this evidence is,
it's bad police work. It's Commissioner Gordon. He walks on and goes, we're not sure who did it, but here's evidence.
But he knows it's bad police work. That's why he says, purely circumstantial. I'm giving you the facts. I'm out. Why would he show up? Because someone's forcing
him to. Somebody has to be forcing him to do this. I think this one's away from me. Oh. Based on,
And I just went back to, there's a way.
Oh. Oh, yes.
Life finds a way.
I knew the performance and the way he delivers that
line. It just shifted it. Once I looked at, Markian was right. I had to look through a different eye and I was like, oh, something's up.
Something's wrong.
That's
not right.
Fucking garbage. You're all garbage. Fucking commissioner waddles out with his Ziploc bag and you're like, that makes fucking sense.
Eat floor. Ah! High fiber.
Well, I lost. I lost my no way. That's 1-1. It's tied.
Oh, I love it. I love that one turned around.
Yeah, I do too.
That was so dramatic. Just like the movie.
Yeah.
Saved by kitty litter.
Harvey, it's your movie. It's tied 1-1. How you feeling? Do you want this thing to win? Do you want it to go away or no way?
I think I want it to win, but slowly you're making reality kind of set in. And my childhood is kind of dissolving in front of my eyes.
That's what we do here.
That's our goal.
So never coming back on this again. So thank you, Markian.
Harvey, you look so defeated there on that last one. You look so sad.
I'm glad I'm glad no one can see my face because A, I look like shit because I literally just woke up. And then
looking great.
And B, I am like, the more I fall into this, my face never hides my feelings, as Markian can tell you. So I'm just like depleted to myself of like sorrow and self-loathing. But it's good. It's a conversation that must be had.
So we are one for one going into our third No Way here, which is my No Way. So this is going to be for all the marbles of Batman Returns.
Round three.
My No Way comes at approximately the hour 18 mark of the film. So this is where we have what I would call the, you know, major inciting, the big one incident of the movie where Penguin and Catwoman have kidnapped the Ice Princess that we just saw.
No sweat. I'll just tell the police I was kidnapped by an ugly bird man with fish breath.
They bring her up to a roof.
Gotta go. Girl talk.
Near where the city is having their second attempt at lighting this Christmas tree. And Batman comes up to save her, but instead,
long dark.
You know, she falls off the building. And then Batman is being framed in this moment by Penguin and Catwoman for her murder.
And Batman pushed the princess!
So here's the third and final clip, which will decide the fate of Batman Returns on No Way.
Mistletoe can be deadly if you eat it.
But a kiss can be even deadlier if you mean it.
Let me hear it.
There is no way Batman in that moment would leave the scene of the crime, disengage with Catwoman, run away from a fight, spreads his wings, flies over the people, terrorizes them. That's scary as shit. And then he leaves.
He's like, peace.
Why?
There's so many things going against him already. I think sometimes you need to remove yourself from the scenario. So my justification is that there's already a mob after him. He's already been falsely accused, right? And so there's already cops shooting at him. They don't like him. These rookies don't like this bad guy saving them. So already everyone in town thinks he's the bad guy. She slipped. Get him! You know, it's like if you stay behind and you try to prove your innocence, most likely you're going to die. So I think it was smart of him. And he wasn't terrorizing them when he flew over them. That's what he needed to get, you know, momentum and thrust with his wings to get out of the scenario. He flew and it happened to be around the tree that looked, yes, covered with bats. They were planted.
He did a lap.
They were planted.
He did a lap with bats.
They did a lap because he needs to get momentum and thrust with his wings. He's not going to stay. It's already looking really bad. And so I feel like you're ruining this movie.
I'm on a No Way on this one currently. He makes a bad exit, and maybe that's just how he had to get to his car. And so who knows where he parked. So that was just the way he had to go.
He had to swing up and validate his parking. He's like, da-da-da-da-da.
He's flying over. He's like, where the fuck did I park it? He was doing laps.
He's like, where did I put the Batmobile? But it's that, so the cops shoot, he falls off a roof, Catwoman jumps on top and licks his face, and they have a little sexy moment. And at that point, but after, it was very hot. But at that point, there are no gunshots. The police do not seem to be in pursuit. Commissioner Gordon told them to stop on the top roof. There doesn't seem to be any pressure on Catwoman and Batman and on this new rooftop. They have this moment. She stabs him. And then they say not a word again, and he just jumps off the roof. What I have a problem with is, yeah, maybe he's confused about which way he wants to arrest her or fuck her. He's not sure. But I don't understand the complete disengage. Why is this scene over?
Him not going back up to the roof for the Penguin and the police, I get that to an extent. Because Batman at his core is a detective. And so I think for him, he's confident that he's like, I understand the police think I did this right now. I think everybody does. I just have to go solve that first.
See,
I'm not
going
to solve that by going back up there and fighting.
There you go.
However, though, I am... Harvey's like, right, that's it. And I'm like, wait, that's still a little bit of...
I think we solved it.
You're like, Mike, quit talking.
There.
Mike, quit talking right there. But then I'm also with you. My biggest hang-up, though, is that he leaves Catwoman. Because, yeah, she clearly caused the death of that woman.
Yeah, but she just stabbed him.
Yes.
They thought it had a connection, and so he just stabs like, whoa.
I think he leaves, though, in that moment. And it's such a shitty excuse, but it is a through line in the movie, is this is a world with a horny Batman.
Hey, stud. I thought we had something together.
I'll go with
like
that.
He has multiple times fucked stuff up to try to get with Catwoman. And also, I think he's a horny Batman, but he's also meeting a woman for the first time who has similar. She also identifies with an animal. She also has an alter ego. We know he's attracted to Selina Kyle as Bruce Wayne, so he's got to be feeling that same feeling a little bit. I just think that him in that moment, he is torn between, do I like bring this woman in and we charge her for the case of basically killing the Christmas princess? But also she's like the first woman I've ever met, Ice Princess. Thank you. But also she's like the first woman I've ever met that's kind of like me, and she's hot. He's a bit of a horny Batman. He's going to let this one go, as fucked up as that is for Batman to do.
I thought you were going to say he's horny Batman.
Good night.
You guys haven't done some stupid shit because you're horny? I know I have.
He might actually have an erection at that point.
He has to swoop out.
He needs to get out. No, again, but you know what? The costume's rubber. Like we've learned, it's like soft rubber.
So it's painful probably. He's like, yeah, oh, no. God. So that'll let you know that he's probably really uncomfortable right now. He just got his lips licked by this beautiful woman that he doesn't know who she is. And he's like, I gotta get out of here.
I gotta go now.
Oh, God, I gotta go. And they shoot at him like, yeah, shoot what you want. I gotta get out of here.
What do you think is the conversation? What do you think
he's
is the conversation?
He's horny. You're right. You're absolutely right, Mike. You just proved it. He has to get out of there if solely just to save his like reputation and embarrassment of having a boner.
Is our argument right now that Batman just left because he had an erection? But also, if he had an erection, can I just point out one last thing? If that is actually true, that he had an erection and had to leave, it makes his exit even funnier because he turned, faced her fully, put his arms out, and then left.
He was like presenting it, yeah. And then he just flew over 300 people with his boner pointed down, yeah. Let's leave the boner aside for a second.
Fine.
But let's say that Bruce Wayne Batman is having an emotional erection in this moment.
That's
and the
what
question
I meant.
So then what the question really is, does Bruce Wayne Batman in this moment let a criminal go because they're conflicted about how they feel about that criminal?
She caused the death of the I'm going to fuck it up again. Ice Princess?
Yeah.
Thank you. The Ice Princess. And he lets her go. And I'm like, why? I'm still trying to figure out why. There must be a good reason besides being horny.
I actually am away. I'm away now. And I think it's that Michael Keaton and Tim Burton have developed through the first one as a lot more than the second one. But that this is a bit of a more of a fumbly Batman who's seeking his moral path and that he's led by emotion quite a bit. I think it's a way. I think he doesn't know how to proceed, which is almost actually why he's not able to say anything and he leaves in silence and just gets out of there.
Mm, so it's just him kind of retreating in that thought process of, I actually don't know how to proceed right now. I need time to think about this.
And in his defense, when he got onto the roof, the Ice Princess said, she let me go.
She let me go. I think because I reasoned with her girl to girl.
So adding to that, this sounds like he retreats because it sounds like a setup and he doesn't know who's involved. Is it Selina, the Penguin, commissioner, the police? But I'm not staying to find out because clearly me saying I didn't do this is gonna fly. So I think there's a way.
Well, I mean, it's on Mike here. I mean,
I forgot about the fact that he did hear the Ice Princess say she let me go, mm-hmm, which doesn't acquit her of the crime of kidnapping her in the first place. But it certainly is less severe than, like, I think that in Batman's eyes, when the Ice Princess died, it's not Catwoman's fault. It's clearly the Penguin's fault.
Yeah, because she says, I thought you were going to scare her. It's like, she looked pretty frightened to me, you know? It's like...
Yeah, I think he leaves kind of as the way of this is kind of what you said, Kayvon, where he's just at this impasse. Is that the right word? Like an impasse where he's just like, I don't know what the fuck to do with this. I think I'm away. I'm away on it. Yeah, where justice is black and white and clear, he acts. And where it's gray, I think he sees himself in those moments and goes like, if I start busting everything that's gray, I gotta bust myself. And also he's horny, so he's gotta go bust himself.
So he's gonna
I have to get that in.
Life finds a way.
Meow.
Meow.
that is our third final round, bringing it to 2 out of 3 ways out of 3 possible rounds, making the bat, the cat, and the bird away.
Still alive!
Your movie stands, Harvey. You don't have to give up your childhood.
Yeah.
I think I will.
Anyway. I think I will anyway.
After all this, I wanted to prove my point, and now I make the choice that I don't want to.
I'm never going to watch this movie again.
I'm never going to watch this movie again. No, I'm glad that it is. There's a way.
Let's do the last part of our podcast here, Harvey, which is the funometer, we call it, where we rate this movie out of 100%. I'm at about a 70 with this one. I am not attached to Tim Burton's Batmans in a nostalgic way. These came out before I was born, so I didn't really grow up with them. It wasn't my world of Batman ever. I was always a Spider-Man kid. There's some really interesting aesthetic things going on, and I love Danny DeVito in this one. I love Michelle Pfeiffer, but I don't love it. So I'm just sitting at a pretty 70 on it.
I mean, I'll jump in. I'm kind of remember watching this movie as a child, and for some weird reason, my parents loved Tim Burton, so that was like a thing. Like, I remember watching Nightmare Before Christmas a million times as a kid, and my parents just like loved, I don't know why, like exposing me and my brother to like weird, dark, spooky stuff, like Tim Burton in a way. And like, it's not a perfect film by any means, but I think I'm still gonna give it like an 85.
I'm gonna give it a 91. This is very nostalgic. It's very iconic Batman for me. I'm born in 84, so I would have been about 8 years old when this came out. I wouldn't have been able to go to the theater to see it, but I remember the culture and the energy and the conversation that was around me with these Batman movies, and they were dangerous and they were exciting, and it's a high score for me.
I mean, if you would have asked me when I was a kid, this is 100 for me, obviously. But as an adult, just because I can find like the small things, even with the, you know, choices, acting and whatnot, because I could be more critical, I guess, now, since that's, I guess, part of the profession. But it's still up there. It's like a 98.
Wow. 98 for me. That's brilliant.
Harvey, thanks so much for joining us today. This was so much fun. Thank you for taking the time after getting no sleep, I'm sure, to do this. We really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. This has been a blast. And hopefully we'll do it in the future in person when this whole world gets back together.
Yeah, we'll have a big Batman fest. We'll watch Batman together.
Yeah. I call Batman or Catwoman. Either or is fine. Actually, the Penguin. I want to be the Penguin.
I have a name. Oswald Cobblepot.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the No Way Podcast. No Way is produced by Markian Tarasiak, Kayvon Koshkam, and Mike Gill with the help of Speakeasy Theater and the Cinematics Creation Company. The show is edited by Kayvon Koshkam with original music by Ben Elliott. The No Way Podcast is produced on the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. Please join us next Friday for another exciting episode of No Way, and make sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at No Way Podcast and Twitter at No Way Pod. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time at the movies.